folks visiting with us, the visitors that are here this morning. Let me say that those of you who missed last Sunday, do we get any, do we make any progress in getting a videotape? Did we get that tape? We have a video. Okay. Ushers, Rodell, quiet that man now. Yeah, bouncers, ushers, what do we got here? Get rid of, quiet that man down, all right? If you missed last Sunday and didn't hear that missionary speak, I would encourage you to get up with Rich and Kim, get that videotape and see it. I guarantee it will profoundly affect your life. What an incredible testimony of the grace of God, just remarkable story. All right, if you have your Bibles with you today, I want you to turn to the book of Colossians. And while you're finding that, I have entitled the message this morning, Turkey Day, with a question mark after day. Turkey Day. Isn't that what we just celebrated last Thursday? You know, last Thursday our nation celebrated Thanksgiving Day. Do you know why? Why do we do that? Thanksgiving as a national festival celebrates that day in 1622 when Governor William Bradford summoned the survivors of the Mayflower to praise God for the first harvest. Governor Bradford of Massachusetts made this first Thanksgiving proclamation 3 years after the Pilgrims settled at Plymouth. Here's what he said. He said, "Inasmuch as the Great Father has given us this year an abundant harvest of Indian corn, wheat, peas, beans, squash, and garden vegetables, and has made the forest to abound with game and the sea with fish and clams, inasmuch as he has protected us from the ravages of the savages, has spared us from pestilence and disease, has granted us freedom to worship God according to the dictates of our own conscience. Now I, your magistrate, do proclaim that all ye pilgrims, with your wives and ye little ones, do gather at ye meeting house on ye hill between the hours of 9 and 12 in the daytime on Thursday, November 29th of the year of our Lord, 1623, in the third year since the pilgrims landed on ye pilgrim rock, there to listen to ye pastor and to render thanksgiving to ye Almighty God for all his blessings." The first Thanksgiving Day, as William Bradford proclaimed, was to be a day of thanksgiving to God for all he had given them. And that feast literally lasted about 3 days, during which the pilgrims feasted on wild turkey and venison with their Indian guests. Now, days of Thanksgiving were celebrated sporadically until November 26, 1789. And President Washington issued a proclamation of a nationwide day of Thanksgiving. He made it clear that it should be one of prayer and giving thanks to God. It was to be celebrated by all religions, denominations, a circumstance that helped to promote the spirit of common heritage. But it wasn't until about 240 years after the first pilgrim's father sank to his knees on Plymouth that Thanksgiving was reinstated on the calendar and proclaimed as an official holiday. And that was done when things were going quite badly, as a matter of fact. Someone once said that all nations grow odious in prosperity. Now, they certainly grow careless, and I think we see that in our own country. And it took the tragedy of the war between the states and the scarred spirit of Abraham Lincoln to recall the pilgrim heritage that such a recollection might bind the nation's wounds. In Lincoln's words, he says, "We have forgotten the gracious hand." Now, I want you to remember, Lincoln is saying this in the mid-1600s, okay? "We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and strengthened us, and vainly imagined all these blessings were produced by some superior virtue or wisdom of our own." Lincoln went on to say, "Intoxicated by our unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity for redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God who made us." Well, it sounds like he could give that speech again, doesn't it? Today in our day. And it literally was a stroke of genius that Lincoln sought to bind up the nation's wounds by installing in a divided national heart this former unity. His attempt was to bring North and South, victor and victim, together by recalling their pilgrim beginnings. To this end, on October 3rd, 1863, Abraham Lincoln issued the first National Thanksgiving Proclamation. He said, "In the midst of a civil war of unequal magnitude and severity, I invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father, and I recommend they forevermore implore the interposition of the Almighty's hand to heal the wounds of the nation and to restore it as may be consistent with the divine purpose to the full enjoyment of peace, harmony, and tranquility and union." End quote. I think you can see from William Bradford to George Washington to Abraham Lincoln that our forefathers clearly saw Thanksgiving as a day to honor, to glorify God for His goodness in our lives as Americans. Well, let me ask you a question. Do you think we still view it this way? We still view Thanksgiving as a day when we honor, when we thank God for all He has done for us? Now, I remembered a song that I heard on the TV, I don't even know how many years ago. It seems to me I remember it growing up as a kid, and might not be that old. But it was a line in a little jingle used to promote the NBC lineup on Friday, the day after Thanksgiving. Any of you remember it? It said, "The day after Turkey Day on NBC. Anybody remember that but me? Wait a second. There's some of you that are older than me in here. Come on. "The day after Turkey Day," I know you all watch TV, after on NBC. I'm all alone. Well, you're just going to have to take it by faith then, all right? I'm going to have to go back in the archives of NBC and try to find out this jingle so I can bring it before you. But my point is, I think that Turkey Day is probably a much more appropriate description for 20th century Americans than Thanksgiving Day. You know, we just ought to change the name of the holiday. Let's just call it Turkey Day. The center of the day for most Americans is food. It's not God. I would dare to say that there's most likely a lot more grumbling and complaining that goes on in American homes as we celebrate Thanksgiving than there is thankfulness. You know, as I think about Thanksgiving Day, I kind of wonder, I marvel, you know, that we as Americans, we're so thankful that what we do is we go out and we buy this enormous meal, we spend all day cooking it, and then we eat for an hour till we can't even breathe anymore, and then we clean up and we say, that's how we show God how thankful we are. Is there something wrong with that picture? There just seems to be to me. Maybe it's just me. But during this season, you know, Thanksgiving, the columnists and the newscasters comment on our forefathers and the first American Thanksgiving, and school teachers, you know, they, especially the younger ones, they get little projects together for the kids centered around the pilgrims and Thanksgiving, and, you know, it's all kind of centers around that. But for those of us who truly know the Savior, Thanksgiving should be much more. You know, it should be a way of life, a daily reality and a practice that each believer seeks to develop in his or her own life. Thanksgiving is one of the, I think, the keys to the obedient and joyous living, because it takes our eyes off ourselves, it takes our eyes off our problems, and it focuses them on the Lord and on His greatness. In fact, the spirit of thanksgiving adds an important ingredient in the home that has a significant impact on the children. You know, if the children see their parents thankful and grateful for everything they have, I think that's going to kind of permeate throughout the whole house. This morning I'd like to consider the topic of thanksgiving and its importance in our life, our walk with the Lord, and how it can literally affect the homes in which we live. In Ephesians 5 and in Colossians 3, we have instruction and commands that deal with the spiritual life of one's personal walk with the Lord. Based on our union with Jesus Christ and our new life capacity in Him, we're to put off these old practices of the former life. We're to put on the image and the character of Christ through Spirit-controlled, a Word-filled life. And it's interesting and instructive to note that other Christian virtues and responsibilities are closely associated with the spirit of thanksgiving. For instance, look at me at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. And I want you to just notice the continual theme of thanksgiving in this passage. Colossians 3:12, I'm reading from the New King James Version. He says, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace Now, the NIV here says gratitude, singing with gratitude. The New American Standard says singing with thanksgiving in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father through Him. Over and over we see the theme there of thanksgiving. Look at Colossians 4:2. He says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. I want you to constantly be in prayer, but I want the attitude, the theme of your prayer to be thanksgiving. Now, I don't believe these are simply additional Christ-like characters. I think they're related to one another, much like a cause and effect. Or like that of a root is to a trunk and the branches and finally then to the fruit. A capacity to get along and to love one another in the home and to relate properly to others on the job is the fruit, while the other things here in the passage function as the root or the trunk and the branches. Why and how can thanksgiving be so important in our lives, and especially in the life of our home? How does it enhance a marriage and a relationships on the job? It's because a thankful heart provides something within that enables people to be more effectively living together, to more effectively love one another and fulfill their responsibilities to their mate, to their children, to their friends, and those people that they work with on the job. Thus, it becomes evident as we study the nature and essence of thanksgiving, along with some of the reasons why we should be a thankful people. Christians should be the most thankful people in the world. Our lives should be full of praise, full of thanksgiving, full of joy. Especially American Christians, you would think. We have so many reasons to be full of thanksgiving, even in the midst of adversity. But because of the world around us and the attitudes of most, and because of our own bent towards self-centeredness, we're prone to be very unthankful people. Have you ever heard some of the things people complain about? Instead, we're prone to be full of the kind of mental attitude sins that lead to complaining and grumbling. An important element in allowing the peace of Christ to rule there in Colossians 3:5 is found in the closing words of the verse. It says, and be ye thankful. The present tense of the Greek text suggests the translation, keep on becoming thankful. There's a connection. A constant spirit of thankfulness is an essential part of letting the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Because of our tendency as sinful people and our natural bent is to be unthankful, and an unthankful person is one whom the peace of Christ doesn't rule. Thankfulness is thus something we need to develop. It's something we need to work at, folks. It takes time. It takes effort. This is suggested by the present tense, which refers that which is to be repeated is to be continued. And by the verb ginomai, to become or come to be. The Greek text is looking at a process of developing and maintaining a thankful spirit. But how? I mean, how do we do that? Well, first we need to understand that thanksgiving is a product of the Word-filled life. It's a product of a person who is preoccupied with the Lord Jesus Christ and all that He has given him. They're not preoccupied with themselves. And that's the problem with people today. We're so caught up in ourselves, we can hardly see beyond that. And that's why so many Americans are so miserable. It's because we're self-centered. The thankful life is a product of a life that is occupied with the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanksgiving is an expression of an inner recognition and acknowledgement of the grace of God in every area of our life. Let me give you a principle. True thanksgiving is something that proceeds out of the inner person from the heart through the lips. If the heart is evil, in other words, if it's filled with greed, if it's filled with preoccupation with self and the details of life, with problems and unresolved feelings of anger and resentment, then thankfulness is basically impossible. Look with me at Hebrews 13. I want you to just look at one verse there that's just very, very powerful. And I want you to see the importance of thanksgiving in our worship. We're called to be worshiping people, but folks, I think it is impossible to worship with an unthankful heart. I think it's impossible to be ungrateful and worship God. It's a contradiction. Look at Hebrews 13 and verse 15. It says, therefore by Him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. Now, the words there, offer and sacrifice, are both priestly terms. This shows us that true thanksgiving is also a priestly response and an act. It is a priestly sacrifice. In other words, it's an act of worship. When we offer praise to God, it could be rendered a sacrifice consisting of praise. And it's explained by the words, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Thanksgiving is an act of adoration and praise that calls attention to the grace work of God. We're thanking Him, we're praising Him for what He's done for us. Turn with me to Psalm 100. We want to look at some different scriptures this morning that just give us the flavor of what the scripture had to say about thanksgiving. And I want you to note in Psalms 100 the relationship between the command to give thanks and the reason we are to give thanks. And if you understand the reason, then it should just flow naturally, I think, from your heart. Psalm 100 says, "Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness." That's how God wants our service, with gladness, with joy. "Come before His presence with singing." See, folks, singing is a form of worship, because as we sing, we're declaring the attributes of God. We're praising Him. We're glorifying Him. "Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name." Now, why are we to be thankful? Why are we to bless His name? Verse 5 says, "For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endures to all generations." You want to know why we're to be thankful? Because God is good. Thanksgiving is a matter of response to the facts of Revelation. As we read the Bible, we see the goodness of God in providing salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are a Christian, thanksgiving should be something that continually comes from your life, no matter what kind of situation you're in. Because it doesn't matter what happens to us in this life. If we are a Christian, we know we have eternal life. And when we die physically, we go on eternally in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. We should constantly be thankful. Now, I want you to look with me at some of the reasons why we should be thankful. I want to give you a couple reasons why we should be thankful, and then look at how to be thankful. Number one reason why we should be thankful: it glorifies God. Now, do you understand that as people we're called to bring glory to God? Listen to Isaiah 43:6-7. It says this: "I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not keep them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory." God says, everyone who I've called by my name, all my people, I've called them, why? For my glory. I formed him, yes, I've made him. God created us to bring glory to him. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "Therefore, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." You familiar with that verse? No matter what we do, we're to do it for God's glory. Let me ask you something. How do you eat and drink to God's glory? You ever considered that? You ever pondered that? You ever thought about it? How do I eat and drink in a way that brings glory to God? I think I know. I think the answer is found in Psalm 50:23. Listen to this. Now, just listen in light of what we just talked about. "Whoever offers praise glorifies me." Whoever offers praise, God says, glorifies me. Now, how do you eat and drink and bring glory to God? Put them together. How do we do that? We thank God. We thank Him for our food. We thank Him for what we had to drink. When we do that, the most mundane things of life, when we eat and drink, we thank God. Father, thank you for this food. Thank you that I have water to drink. We praise Him for it. We just bring glory to His name. We glorify God by having a thankful spirit for what we have. What does that say about when we're ungrateful for what we have? You know, I have friends. Still have them. They're still friends, but they don't live here anymore. And when their kids were young, I remember going to their house. A lot of you know them, Bruce and Deborah Green. And their kids, I remember their kids came to the table and I was eating over. And one of the kids sat down and goes, "Oh, we're having that." And the father said, "Go to your room." He got up, he left, he went to his room. He had no meal that night. He did not eat again until breakfast. And I looked at him and I thought, that's amazing. He says, "Listen, their kids here learn to be thankful for what they have. If they're not thankful, they don't eat it. And then they'll be thankful for the next meal." Listen, folks. That's what we need to cultivate in our children, an attitude of gratitude, an attitude of thankfulness for all that we have. I mean, there's some people who would, you know, do anything to have that meal. And yet we, because we are so abundant here in this country, we probably threw out more on Thursday than most people have eaten in a week. We probably ate more on Thursday than most people eat in a week, you know, tell you the truth. We probably did. So giving thanks, folks, is a natural obligation that man owes to God as creator. God created us. As creator and sustainer of the universe, everything we have, our life, our health, our strength, our breath, our food, our shelter, our clothes, the sun, the rain, the seasons, the course of the stars and the moon, everything we owe to Him because it comes from His hand. And when we thank Him for it, we're bringing glory to His name. We're saying, God, You have provided this. Thank You. That honors Him. It brings glory to His name. This is one of the great themes of Scripture. It's one of the great reasons given for Thanksgiving. Revelation 4:11, we sing it once in a while. It says, You're worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for You've created all things, and by Your will they exist and were created. He's worthy. He created everything. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our honor. Revelation 7, verse 11 says, And the angels stood around the throne, and the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne, and they worshiped God. How do they worship? Saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom. Thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. They gave Him praise. God is worthy, folks, of our gratitude and worship because He is our Creator and our God. We belong to Him by virtue of creation. And ungratefulness, by contrast, is a sign of unbelief. We've become a society of practical atheists. On the whole, we're a society that lives and acts as though God were dead. Ours is a society that thinks it has jettisoned God and has no need of Him. A common attitude today is, if you don't owe anybody anything. Do your own thing, be your own boss, live it up, get all the gusto you can out of life, do what you want. But the Scripture says, for Thy pleasure they are created. We were created for God's pleasure, not our pleasure. We're created to honor, to glorify Him. God deserves our constant praise and thanksgiving. He is our Creator, our Sustainer, our Redeemer. 2 Corinthians 4:15 says, For all things are for Your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Again, thanksgiving brings glory to God. Why do people give thanks? Because of the grace of God. The grace of God is spreading. People are coming to Christ and they're thanking God and it brings Him glory. That thanksgiving abounds to the glory of God. Our thankfulness, our gratitude brings glory to God, and to glorify God, folks, is the reason we exist. So one of the reasons we are to thank God is because it brings Him glory. Now let me ask you, are you glorifying God by your attitude, by your thankfulness? Are you thankful? You know, it's amazing how we can pick out one area of our life that's not what maybe we think it should be and focus on that, and we start feeling down and sad, like, oh, we just don't have everything we deserve, and we just get all down in the dust. And if we start looking around at all the things we did have and focus on how good we have it here. You know, if you left here last week and you weren't saying, God, thank You that I live in this country, thank You for this, then there's something wrong with you. We're to be thankful because it brings glory to God. We're also to be thankful because it's commanded in Scripture. We are commanded to give thanks. Psalm 97:12 says, Rejoice in the Lord, you righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holy name. We're to just give thanks for God, for who He is. Psalm 106 verse 1 says, Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His mercy endures forever. Psalm 107 verse 1 says, Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He's good, for His mercy endures forever. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, everybody knows that, right? And how many things to give thanks? In everything give thanks! In everything! This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You know, some form of the word thanksgiving, thankfulness is found 141 times in 135 verses in the New King James Version. God commands us to give thanks not only because it pleases and glorifies Him, but because it's such value to our own lives. As Psalm 92:1 says, it's good to give thanks to God. Have you ever seen the difference between a thankful person and a grumpy, ungrateful person? I mean, you just can't do anything that makes them happy. No matter what you give them, they're never satisfied, they're never happy. And you've seen the difference in the two spirits? One person, they just, oh, thank you. They thank you for everything. Anything you do, they're thanking you for it. They're happy, they're content. And the other people, it doesn't matter what you do, they're still grumbling and complaining. So we're to be thankful because it brings God glory, it's commanded. And because, thirdly, of the severe consequences of unthankfulness. The severe consequences of unthankfulness. In Romans 1:21 it says, Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful. but became futile in their thoughts. Their foolish heart was darkened. Speaking of the judgment of God on men, because of their failure to give God thanks, their hearts were darkened and they were judged by God for their sinfulness. You know, without thankfulness, the heart grows cold. It grows calloused. We become insensitive to God and we move more and more into a self-centered, independent way, going our own way, acting out as practical atheists, basically. Unthankfulness is never neutral to God. It's always negative. So we're to be thankful because it brings God glory. It's commanded, and there are severe consequences to an unthankful heart. We also need to understand that thanksgiving is a barometer on the soul. It tells you a lot about a person. One of the qualities and characteristics of a godly person is that he or she is a thankful person. A thankful heart flows from an inner life that is anchored in the Lord and His love and grace. They understand who they are before God, and they are thankful. And a thankful person is one who knows the Lord and he's able to focus on His person, His providence, His provision, and all the conditions of life, both in prosperity and adversity. He's one who lives in praise and adoration for all that God has given him, for God's plans, His purposes, His principles, His promises. Well, how do we come to the point we can develop a thankful heart? I think, first of all, we as Americans need to realize that we're pretty ungrateful. We're the fattest, most prosperous nation in the world and probably the most grumbling, complaining nation in the world. So how do we develop a thankful heart? Well, number one, the way to develop a thankful heart is understand the purpose of life. What is the purpose of life? Do you know what it is? God created us to live in fellowship with Him. Most people have this idea of life that God created me to get as much gusto, as much joy, to do my own thing, to go my own way. God created us to dwell in fellowship with Him. If you understand that is the purpose of life, that is not hindered by circumstances, by adversities. It's not to see how easy we can make life or how much we can have in this life. Our purpose is to walk in fellowship with God. He has given us all things to enjoy, but these things weren't designed to replace our relationship with Him or our dependence on Him. In 1 Timothy 6:17, it says, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust uncertain riches, but the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. You know, these things can never give peace, lasting joy, security, and personal significance. Life does not consist in the abundance of the things that we possess. Do you understand that? I don't think Americans understand that. You ever seen the bumper sticker, he who dies with the most toys wins? That's an American philosophy. It really is. We got this idea that life consists in how much we can get, how much we can amass for ourselves. I like the other bumper sticker that says, he that dies with the most toys still dies. That's a good bumper sticker. It doesn't matter how many toys you get. You're still going to die. All right? Luke 12:23 says, life is more than food and the body is more than clothing. And John 17:3 says, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Our life is about growing in a relationship, a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's coming to know Him, to walk with Him, to commune with Him. That's the purpose of life. It's not to satisfy our own longings, our own desires. It's to grow in our relationship with God. Secondly, if you want to develop a thankful heart, remember God's goodness. Remember His goodness. Look at me at Deuteronomy chapter 8. You probably have Deuteronomy 8 memorized by now. We keep referring to it a lot. I just think it's so analogous with 20th century American society. Deuteronomy 8 verse 11. A warning that God gives to the Israelites that is very pertinent to us today. Deuteronomy 8:11 says, beware lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments and His ordinances and His statutes which I'm commanding you today. Now, you notice what he says? Be careful you don't forget the Lord by forgetting to obey. In other words, when you're not obeying God, you're forgetting God. Because obedience is remembering Him. Verse 12, he says, lest when you have eaten and are satisfied and have built good houses and lived in them, and when your herds and your flocks have multiplied and your silver and gold multiplied and all that you have multiplies, then your heart becomes proud and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of slavery. In keeping with the importance of establishing ways to thankfully reflect on God's goodness and grace, God had Joshua establish a memorial in Gilgal and in Jordan to remind them of the mighty power of rolling back the waters of Jordan. God gave them a memorial, something to constantly they could see and remember God's goodness. And I think one way to remember God's goodness is to have memorials, have things that remind us of specific events, specific times in our life when God truly was good to us. But folks, I'll tell you, if you really want to turn around your attitude, I advise you to get a pencil and a piece of paper and just sit down and begin to write down the blessings that God has given you. I mean, just stop and think, because I think very rarely do we stop and think of what God has given us and thank Him for it. I mean, just write down things like, you know, you might want to put the top of the bed, thank you for my salvation. By grace you saved me. I will not spend eternity in hell because of the grace of God. That should cause me to be thankful no matter what kind of situation I'm in. You can thank God for your health. You know, even if you're not perfectly healthy, you can thank God for what you have. There's so many people worse off than you. You can thank God for family. You know, as he talked last, Mark talked last week, these Albanians, these 60 kids in this Albanian orphanage. That orphanage is all they know. That's all they have. You know, later, Mark's wife Lola was sharing with us that, you know, that one little boy that was 3.5 years old, never been out of his crib. She said she took him that day out of his crib across the hall to her room, and she said the boy screamed when they got in her room because the first time in his life he saw a different color. 3.5 years old. No family, no love. We have so much. Friends. When's the last time you just sat down and thanked God you had friends? Someone you could talk to. Someone you could share things with. Someone you could do things with. How about a job? Are you working? Say, yeah, well, I don't like my job. Well, isn't it better than not having a job? You know, you can thank God for what you have. How about your food? I mean, I know when we pray, you know, good food, good meat, good God, let's eat. You know, we're just in a hurry to, you know, bless the food and go on with life. But when's the last time you really contemplated, Lord, thanks. I know there's people that don't have things to eat. Thank you that we do have things to eat. How about water? When's the last time you went to the faucet and you thanked God that there was water there that wasn't contaminated, that you could drink, you didn't have to go search for water for your family somewhere? But the car you drive, the house you live in. How about the fact that we live in a prosperous, peaceful nation? I mean, we could go on and on. And there are so many things we have to be thankful for. Other than being on a self-inflicted diet, when is the last time any of us were hungry? Do we know what it is to be hungry? You know, Thursday I was wishing I knew what hunger was. You know, I was so miserable. You know, and that's just, you know, that's how we are. It's like, hunger, what is that? It's something you get when you need a snack at night, you know. We don't know what it means to be hungry. We should be thankful. You know, I think this week one of the things I was really thinking about is thankful for our friends. You know, other people in your life who have been there over the years. You know, as Bill was sharing this morning, I mean, you know, I've known Bill and Debbie for over 15 years, and they move out of town and move to Japan, around the world, and they come back, and it's like you start right over. I mean, it's like the friendship's still there, and there are, no matter where they live, there are friends. And we have friends, you know, around the world and friends here, and I thank God for those people who are there. You know, their friends are people who didn't bail out on you when times got tough. They didn't walk away. They may not be spectacular. They may not be superstars. But they're there. They're people who stuck it out. They're there with you. You know, some of us have marriage partners who stuck it out with us through bad times. Maybe financial disasters. Maybe they hung with us through a midlife crisis or a health problem or a terrible career decision. Some of us have been blessed with someone who has shown wonderful support. And we take them for granted. We take our friends for granted. You know, and I think we stop taking them for granted when we get away and we realize how lonely and painful it is not to have someone just to be able to talk to share with. A man was in the hospital recovering from a fall off his roof. And he looked at his wife and he said, Wanda, you've always been there. When I flunked the 10th grade, you were there. When I wrecked my dad's new car that day, you were there. When I got fired at the plant, you were there. When I lost my savings on the ostrich farm, you were there. And now I've broken my arm and my leg falling off the roof, and Wanda, you're there. Wanda, you're nothing but bad luck. You know, that's a way we can look at things, you know, in a negative respect. You know, well, you're the reason I'm having all these problems. Instead of being thankful and grateful that we have someone to go through it with. Folks, listen. If you want to grow in gratitude, count your blessings. They're around you. They're everywhere. You know, the problem is sometimes we don't even recognize what our blessings are. There was a man who owned a small estate and he wanted to sell it. So he sent for a real estate agent and he asked him, you know, to write an advertisement describing the house and the land so he could put it up for sale. When the ad was ready, the agent came back to the owner and he read it to him. And the owner said, "Read that again." And the agent read the description of the estate once more and he said, "I don't think I'm going to sell it after all." He said, "I've been looking for a place like that all my life." Yeah, you know, have you ever been there? You know, it's right there under your nose. It's what you have. But we can't see it because the grass is always greener somewhere else. We need to ask God, "God, open my eyes to the blessings that I have so I can enjoy them." Count your blessings. But start by asking God to open your eyes to see the possessions that you have in Christ. All the blessings you have. It'll change your entire perspective. It'll enable you to praise God for what you have. You know, consumer culture would have us feel constantly unsatisfied. There's always something we need, something we got to have. In response, we should practice gratitude as a kind of spiritual discipline. In difficult times or times of temptation due to dissatisfaction, we should list simple, basic things that we've enjoyed day to day and often taken for granted. Thank you, God, for a roof over my head. You know, when I pray with Lindsay, I like to get her to understand, to be thankful for the small things. Thank you, Lord, that we have, it's raining out. Thanks that we have a house to be in and out of the rain. Thank you that, you know, we have a bed to sleep in. We get up in the morning and there's food there to eat, a breakfast. Thank God for just a simple cup of coffee to sit down and enjoy. There's some people don't have all that. And as the list lengthens, we'll find ourselves less desperately in need of things and more thankful to God for what He's really provided for us. So count your blessings. And thirdly, here's something we all need to guard against. If you're going to have a thankful heart, watch for signs of being ungrateful. And if you really are serious about this, if you really want to do it, ask somebody else to help you. Say, "Hey, when you hear me being ungrateful, point it out, will you?" I mean, someone who really will do that. You know, ungrateful people are very often those who are proud and they think they can run their own lives independently of God. Therefore, they're not thankful for anything. And ultimately it leads to a foolish heart darkened by sin, which turns to more and more moral decay. Ungrateful people very often think that somebody, listen, please mark this down of an ungrateful person. Very characteristic. Ungrateful people very often think somebody, God, country, family, friends, owes them something. They just feel somebody, "Oh, you owe me." That is a wrong mentality. Nobody owes us anything. If you feel people owe you something, you will always be ungrateful because you're never going to get what you think you deserve. If you come from the prospect, "You don't owe me anything, I thank God for everything I get." You know, if you learn to expect nothing, you'll never be disappointed. Will you? It's because our expectations are so high. We expect so much from people. You know, and this ungrateful spirit produces laziness and a lack of industry. An ungrateful spirit leads to bitterness, resentment with complaining, blaming, and murmuring. You're never satisfied because you never get what you think you deserve. Folks, I am convinced that the greatest singular act of personal worship that we can render to God is a thankful heart. I am just convinced that's what worship's all about. Worship is an attitude. It's not coming to a church and doing something for a couple minutes. I think as we come, we corporately worship God with an attitude of gratefulness and thanksgiving for all He's given us. But worship is a life. Our life is to be worshipful. And the way we worship God is by a thankful heart. Because thanksgiving ultimately recognizes God as the source of everything. God created us. We're to be thankful. Thanksgiving promotes contentment about our possessions, our position, our providence, by focusing our thoughts on God's blessings that He has already given us. William Law, in his Serious Call to a Devout and Holy Life, writes this: "Would you know who is the greatest saint in the world? It is not he who prays most or fasts most. It is not he who gives most alms or is most eminent for temperance, chastity, or justice, but it is he who is always thankful to God." He who is always thankful to God, who wills everything that God wills, who receiveth everything as an instance of God's goodness and has a heart always ready to praise God for it. I agree with Law. I think the greatest saint is the saint who is constantly thankful. Constantly thankful to God. And therefore we can flip the other side over. That person who's always complaining, who is never satisfied, they're far from understanding what it means to walk in fellowship with God. Sir John Templeton, the billionaire investor, was once asked, what's the secret of wealth? Without hesitation, Templeton said, gratitude. Gratitude. And they said, that's the secret of wealth? He went on to say, if you're not grateful, you're not rich, no matter how much you have. True, isn't it? If you're not grateful, you're not rich. And if you're grateful, you are rich. If you're grateful for what you have, you're rich. A thankful heart is developed by staying close to the Lord through living and growing in His Word, through understanding what He has provided for us, understanding who He is as we see Him through the Word, and all the provisions He has made for us in the spiritual realm. We begin to grow thankful to Him. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. Remember, folks, the greatest singular act of personal worship is a thankful heart. Look at Colossians 1:9. For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Why do we give thanks to God? Because we realize what He has done for us in the spiritual realm, providing salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. And when we realize the riches that we have eternally in Christ, our heart begins to grow thankful in every situation we're in. Thanksgiving is a product of understanding God's truth. Oh, that we might be a thankful people. Let's stay occupied and appreciative of our God and all His infinite glory and grace. Let's begin to count our blessings and see if it doesn't change the way we feel, the way we respond about things. I think we should live in the spirit of the hymn writer who said this: all good gifts around us are sent from heaven above. Then thank the Lord, oh thank the Lord, for all His love. If we realize everything we have comes from His hand, we're going to start being a little more thankful as a people. And the next time you murmur, now we're coming up here in Philippians chapter 2 in our study. We're going to be getting to those hard-hitting verses on complaining and murmuring. But folks, if you want to worship God, and I have to believe that you're here this morning because you have a desire to worship God, desire to honor Him for who He is. If you really want to glorify God, you really want to worship Him, it comes through a thankful heart. And that happens in the morning when you get up, at night when you go to bed, during your day. Wherever you are, your heart is filled with thanksgiving for all that God has given to us. I want us to close our service this morning by taking your song sheets. Let's all stand together. Tom, would you come up and let's sing Give Thanks with a Grateful Heart.